Good morning. Now we're ready. A power strip somehow mysteriously died. And guess what was plugged into it? The router.
That's bad.
Anyway, good morning, Mike Diesel, and we are.
Are you ready?
We are ready, buddy. Give me a.
Good morning, everybody. It's Monday, November 13th. It's just past 6:30 a.m. at the bottom of the hour here at the Moose Turd Cafe, which can be found only at enlightenedradio.org, which, by the way, is not spelled with an E-D. And you know what? There's no E-D in the governor's mansion in Virginia either. Hey, Mike wrote that. He's not a very good comic, everybody. Here's your host and original Dusty Booted philosopher, Mr. John Case. By the way, our call-in number is 304-885-0708. That's 304-885-0708, everybody. Happy Monday.
Okay, buddy. Thank you for something. Mike Diesel. An award-winning comic that says that is in our neighborhood, you know, for a while anyway, until the floods drive him out or something.
For now.
And so
Mike wishes to express his apologies for not making. Hey, get out of the way.
Who was that?
Man, I think that announcer guy is just power hungry, man.
He must be, you know. And also, we in the Moose Turd Cafe this morning, we have a newspaper available. I call it the rewritten New York Times, since in part that's what happens here. But not that they don't write very nicely and elegantly, but you know, sometimes you have to peel the, you know, you should. Before you microwave something, you should sometimes peel off the top, right?
Yes.
And
ensure that you use microwave-safe dishes. That's what we're saying.
Well, yes.
Apparently, plastic's not just a problem in the ocean, baby. That's what I'm saying.
Really? In other words. What are you inferring there, that there's something
the residue left behind on some of the plastic containers that everyone is sticking in their microwave is probably poison, which goes really well with that reheated mac and cheese, you know what I'm saying?
That's right. I mean, you know, a little bit of commercial mac and cheese along with some plastic, and I know, that could be
And they ridicule us for moose turds.
We could do that in our drive-thru. You know, the Moose Turd Cafe, if it had a drive-thru, we could
I think you better get to work on that at the old Rich Moose there.
Yeah, that's right, fast food. A little bit of
better
fast.
Better get on that, pal.
Fast food spelled P-H-O-O-D.
Hey, John, can I say something else?
No, you're always...
I'm the announcer guy, butted in on Mike, but I wanted to say this show is currently not sponsored by anybody.
That's true.
Wow. Just constantly interrupting me.
Not only that.
I'm sorry, John, look, you know, if we're going to continue, I'm going to have a meeting with this guy.
Can you... Okay? I'd serve him up some pancakes if I were you.
Yeah.
I made some pancakes yesterday. I hadn't made pancakes in a while, but we've had our great friends here this weekend. They're all, one of them left yesterday, and the others are leaving this morning. But we had a great time. It's been good. I mean, I can't say that any of this food would be served at the cafe we have had. This is for people who are not a care in the world, other than the graveyard.
I'm certain John Case made a lovely stew based on my recommendation.
Yes, I did. Yes, we did. We had a stew on one night. We had salmon on another night, and we had... And then we went to chicken. I think we went to chicken last night, you know, so a roasted chicken. So, we basically had three. Oh, not only that, we went out one night to the Mezzaluna. Okay. They took us out, you know, kind of. That was nice. And I splurged, and I had the veal parm, you know, which is like a $16 plate. But
very nice, Mr. Rich Man.
But I was satisfied. I was satisfied. You know that feeling when you are completely satisfied?
Yes, I do. Actually, you know what? Lately, I don't. But continue.
Well, I know, but I was thinking of, you know, Judge Roy Moore, and when he...
Don't!
Okay.
Don't think of him. It's skeevy that you brought that up on the air.
Take a bite. Take a bite of pie. Okay, come on. Just take a bite of pie.
Here's the thing. There are now a couple of names that make people cringe, okay?
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost is Bill Cosby, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
That's number one. And then
take a Quaalude,
baby. I think we can move to Anthony Weiner.
Oh, jeez.
Then we can go to
the junk man.
Harvey Weinstein. Then we can cut over to probably Roy Moore and potentially Louis C.K.
Yeah.
And the other,
although Louis C.K.'s statement was pretty,
I told a friend of mine that was as horrific as what he did is. He so far is the only white, well-to-do male species that has copped to it.
That's true. Yeah, I think there's. I didn't believe it. I was ready to skip it.
You have an entire party, including of which consists of a broadcaster on the fake news network, who was a former judge supporting Roy Moore. She prosecuted pedophiles.
Now, what was her defense here?
This was 30 years ago, and this is a bunch of made up stories. I find it convenient that it's happening in the
By the way, they've actually found the grave of Mary, Mother of God, and she's wearing a T-shirt that says "Me Too."
Wow!
See,
Reverend Barber makes some very, very good points about white evangelicals. Reverend Barber considers himself an evangelical, okay?
Right.
So far today, he has begged, pleaded, and asked for one of them, from Graham Jr. to all the other asshats that peddle this bullshit nonsense, to debate him. And they have all refused.
Of course. Yeah, right. I mean, he should rewrite the invitation. Say, if I painted myself whiteface, would that help?
Oh, man. Wow. Okay, I am not responsible. Reverend Barber, I apologize for my co-host's last comment. I'm not going to even...
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, I mean...
Have you no dignity, sir?
It's most likely just pure racism.
Have
if there is such a thing as pure racism.
I was just thinking to myself, nope, they don't. There's no dignity left in that party.
None.
Well, it is a full-on, grifting, criminal organization. The shit for brains in chief did not visit Duarte to talk about any kind of international affairs. He has a property in Century City in the Philippines. And that property is being constructed. And his disgusting daughter is going to sell her jewelry out of that property. This is brand naming rights. Has nothing to do with you or me or anybody, any working people. I'm sick and tired of hearing that bullshit.
Hey, when the devil himself gets creeped out at what you're doing, what does that mean? I mean, Dick Cheney is creeped out by Kushner.
Hold on a second. listen, John.
God.
It's not that I'm... I don't want to own this shit, okay? I can't handle this anymore. It's all a bunch of bullshit. It's hard enough. Do you know how hard it is managing all these damn stalls? Eventually the fire burns out and you gotta start it again. So, who's gonna do that? I gotta supervise all this shit. I'm not doing it. Bye.
Who
was that?
Wow, that was the devil.
Oh my God.
He's done. Piper did a tail and all. It was a hay fork and a Piper did a tail.
I've heard of Dark Angels, but this is like, you know, the...
The weird thing is, as soon as he started talking, Marcus went and cloaked. And, you know, engaged his cloaking device and went right into his cave.
He's not that far.
I've never seen Marcus cower that quickly. That's my dragon, Marcus. Everybody,
I know. So we have to keep people updated on the various.
Well, they don't know. We have to keep mentioning these things.
A couple months ago, I think, or a month ago, we probably talked about this 10 times over the past year or two. About the Russians hacking and other countries hacking the United States, right?
I did not do this hacking.
Yeah.
Mr. Trump,
this morning's headline.
Okay, good for me. Works for me.
Right. But this morning's headline, turns out that what are we being hacked with? We're being hacked with tools all stolen from the NSA.
Yeah, of course.
Which they were using to hack the world.
Yeah,
and now they've been stolen, and they're hacked.
Back to bite us. Yeah, our own stuff coming back to bite us. Shocking.
This is shocking.
You know, this happens with weapons.
Yeah.
You know, this happens with just about, you know, everything that we create, like, in some way or another has a tendency to get re-engineered and reintroduced into an awful marketplace.
This is like a little bit like, you know, when the aliens sometimes come. And, you know, the soldiers start to take their guns, but immediately an X-ray comes out, you know, and zaps all their weapons, you know, like in the day the Earth stood.
Or their weapon just turns to dust in their hand.
Yeah, or it melts, or it turns around and shoots them in the head or something, you know, like that. It's like one of those, it's like we've, everything, and it's like God is telling us, what some people would say. I don't like your guns.
Another appropriate moment for a Monty Python reference. He used to come over on Tuesdays and he would nail my head to the table. Now he comes over on Thursdays and nails my head to the floor.
Yes. Right. I know. Anyway, so I mean, it looks like the NSA is got to be disbanded.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen.
I mean, they're completely compromised. It says, I mean, these guys are saying that it's like this is like the everything they got has been stolen. They have to rebuild from scratch. Well, why not just try another agency? There's obviously somebody inside that's doing this.
Allow me to insert a Stephen Wright joke.
Okay, yes.
Hey, man, I woke up the other day and everything in my apartment had been stolen and replaced with an exact duplicate. I went up to my roommate and I said, hey, man, everything in here has been replaced with an exact duplicate. My roommate looked at me and said, do I know you?
Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, we're in exactly that thing. I think maybe the NSA has to be flipped. I mean, they're an empty shell.
It's interesting. I was watching one of the pundits, E.J. Dion, who I like a lot, E.J. Dion was making some really good points about how one of the situations is it's not a question of the fact that there's, you know, damage done, because there is. There's here and abroad. There is to a certain extent in some areas irreparable damage. It's going to take us 10 to 15 years to clean this shit up.
If
it's at all possible.
I mean, it's, we don't know how the shit appears to be deeper than any suspected, actually. And you know, I'm one who's been saying there's a pile of shit there for years, but and I know others are too. But it looks to me like it's so much bigger and than everybody suspected, and it's given rise to this excretions that is.
Interrupt you, Mr.
Excuse me, the master of excretions is, yes.
I want to for complimenting my size.
Your size.
I think maybe he got it. I don't know. That was weird.
That was weird. His size? How big is he?
I don't know where he... I think he was assuming we were talking about something he cooked. I don't know.
Can you imagine you sit down for dinner at the Moose Turd Cafe, okay, and you're served up a fricassee of whatever, and this little man about 5 inches high, you know, that looks exactly like Dr. Hannibal Lecter, you know, walks across your table and stares at you in the face. He's like, how do you like it? You know, I can't do your thing, but how do you like your meal, you know? And
are you enjoying your meal?
You know, and...
please allow me to lift the bottle of candy.
Yeah, no, but...
Ah!
I like the
run!
I like the idea of a 5-inch... You know, Dr. Lecter coming to see you, and you know, you might want to, you know, squish me, but I will return 20 times bigger.
Yeah, strike me down, and it will only make me stronger.
That's right.
like an inverted Obi-Wan thing.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, right, you know. Well, you know,
I did have a chance last night to catch up with an old friend I hadn't spoke to in a while. My good buddy Joe Dealey, who is still recuperating from the ravages of a major stroke. He's much better, but it's very difficult physically.
Did it affect speech?
Yeah, it did. A lot of rehab. Still doesn't have the ability to walk normally or move parts of his body normally.
How long ago did he have the stroke?
Oh, gosh, now I think we're going on 5 years, maybe.
Has he had any recurrence of it, or?
No.
Not yet? No. You know, because the problem about strokes is...
He has a very difficult situation because, you know, his mother is elderly and his brother is, mentally and physically challenged. His older brother, I believe, it is, you know. They have to has some, you know, temper issues, and I think he might be partially Down syndrome, and it's just it's really, really a difficult situation for him.
Well, Trump likes this. I think your brother, you know, would be pleased to know that the President Duterte, you know, a murderer out there in the Philippines somewhere, and the president are just. They're breaking bread together, but they're going to give each other a stroke. As my estimation is what's going to happen here. And
as I said in the beginning of the program, this is a, you know, this entire family is a family of grifters, and all they do is sell and trade and bullshit everybody on their name, and then they lie about it. And they pay people off. This is a whole system of payoffs. So
I know. Well, guess what? You know, actually, Duterte sang a song to Trump called "You Are the Light." You are the light. You are the light and the might. I know.
Oh, I'm sorry, John. Was that...
Regurgitation is a natural process in the cafe because it allows you to eat more another breakfast.
Hello, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute.
Well, it's Governor Injustice.
Yeah. Let me just... Hold on a second here. Just, you know me, because I done did it.
You're a zit.
I done did it. I just think he's handling the drug problem in his little country the best way he knows how.
And right.
Hell, I'm writing down and taking notes, so I'm just trying to keep up with the times. I done did it.
Well, you going to tell the state police to go out and shoot anybody smoking a joint? Is that your new thing?
Hold on. I got this here. I got to get this one leg up in there. I can't get it.
Yeah, I know. God Almighty, there he goes again. What a, I mean, what a disgrace as governor. Jesus.
Is that apnea or what is that?
That's 400 pounds of cucumber, man. I mean, it's just it's a 400 pound rush to excellence suppository walking around or attempting to.
Yes. Attempting to get off the toilet.
Anyway. Yeah, but there's
no enough about movements. Anyway, yes. Hey everybody.
So fossil fuel burning set to hit a record high in 2017.
Congratulations, everybody. We're all going to die.
How did you like the hurricane season this year?
Hey, it was beautiful. If you like that one, where do you see the one next year?
Yeah, that's right. The next
one.
Oh my God.
Oh, no. You don't talk about that. Oh, no.
What are you going to have?
You have been read to believe that your environment affect the weather. No!
No.
I do. I control it with my weather machine.
I knew there was something going on. You know, did you tell?
He
came right in with to correct the record.
He's
setting the record straight. There's no such thing as climate change. He's got a weather machine. That's what's going on.
Like
Kim Jong-un has a weather machine.
He does.
And he must have stolen that from the NSA, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of thievery going on there. Sometimes I think that this is all, you and I have talked about this, and it's not conspiracy to assume that certain corporations, multinationals and others, have stolen from each other so much that it's kind of commonplace. And now to steal from a compromised government agency that might just be behind the times in terms of programming and information storage, probably is not that hard.
Now, I know, buddy, but I got some bad news for you.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, it is the Moose Turd Cafe, so.
Joe Holcomb and his wife, Clarice. You know, 84 and 86, 86 and 84, respectively, lost eight of their family members in the Texas church shooting last Sunday, including their son, grandchildren, granddaughter-in-law, who was pregnant, and a great-granddaughter who was still a toddler. But they're not bothered. They're happy, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
You know why?
What's that?
We know, here's what Holcomb 86 had to say. It's just not a problem for us. We know exactly where the family is, and it's not going to be long until we'll both be there too. And we're really sort of looking forward to it now.
I just can't.
I can't either.
I can't. I'm sorry you read that. I'm sorry that had to be processed over the interwaves.
I'm just, I don't know.
Prepare yourself for some ice noise.
Oh, okay. Well, I think we need to cool down after, you know.
That is not a bourbon, by the way.
No. By the way, our friends and good buddy bought just an absolutely stunning bottle of bourbon with him. And we did finish it over two nights.
John is coming over. He's coming over to the dark side.
And that's one of the reasons why I woke up, of course. And when I do that, I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
I know. I do the same thing. If I have like two or one and a half and don't finish all of the second one, I usually am just full of conversation. I think what I'm saying is reasonably intelligent.
Yeah.
And then I just shut my eyes and I fold time and space.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what kind of happens.
And then I'm like, what? And I get up and what happened? What? I was just, oh, damn it. And then I'm all dried out, and I got to go drink a gallon of water to go back to sleep.
The pastor of the First Baptist Church, Frank Pomeroy.
By the way, what was the bourbon? What was it? Can you describe it on the air? Do you remember?
Well, I'd have to go out and get the bottle.
Was it Knob Creek? Was it
no,
Woodford's Reserve?
It's a brand.
Was it Bullet? No,
it's not anything I'd ever heard of before. And I could go out and before we're done, I'll go out and get a look. I'll look at it. But
don't you tell me that it was Pappy Van Winkle.
No, it wasn't. And he brought it up from Greenville, South Carolina, and they said he had some alcohol distributor, dealer, I don't know how they sell booze in South Carolina. I think they all have a separate store for every kind of thing.
Jefferson's Reserve?
And anyway, he brought it up and said that no one's heard of this. It's a local distillery or regional distillery. And so he...
just down south.
Yeah. And it was smooth as hell, man. Very good. I'll find the brand when I get out. It's in the kitchen. It's sitting on the kitchen counter. I don't remember. I'd never heard of it before.
Look, all I'm saying is this podcast really desperately needs some sponsors.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It does, right. Hey, do you think we should, should we add bourbon, to the... bourbon makers as a possible sponsor, I think is not bad. Should we add it to the menu at the cafe, a liquors or something?
I like it.
Consult Dr. Lecter and see what he can do.
Yes, because you can always say, look, it's a moose turd, but look at this lovely bourbon.
You can distill
it. It'll make it go down.
Right. Well, that's true.
It'll make it go down so much smoother, and it gives you the ability to tolerate any type of substance.
But anything can be distilled, practically, almost, right?
Probably not my old slippers.
Add a little yeast, and you're going to get some
not
kind.
Not my old slippers. That would be poisonous.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well,
had those slippers for a couple of years.
Yeah. And a lot of times, the flavor of anything you put in is determined by the barrel.
Yeah.
And so. I don't personally think that, moose turds stored in a moose turd liquor, stored in a oak barrel would be all that much improved. But
you never know. Bourbon helps the moose turd go down. The moose turd go down. A spoonful of bourbon helps the moose turd. Sorry. That's
all right, so
really, really bad impressions and horrible points to be made here, and references to very, very old movies.
Yeah, well, I know. Very
welcome to the Moose Turd Cafe, everybody. By the way, we're just past the top of the hour. It's 7 a.m. It's Monday. It's November 13th, everybody. Here's your original dusty-footed philosopher and host, Mr. John Case, with his sometimes sidekick. I don't know the guy's name. 304-885-0708. 304-885-0708. Just give us a call, everybody.
Don't let him fail to identify himself. He's Mike Diesel, and he's a legendary comic. And personally, he is. He's very good. Yeah. He's very good. I've seen him perform. He's funny as hell.
His hottest moments over the years.
And, there's been an earthquake in Iran, Iraq, probably caused by Saudi Arabia. It looks like Saudi Arabia wants to, or Trump and Saudi Arabia want to provoke a war. They want to provoke
a
war.
Yeah, that's a frightening thing going on over there with the crown prince who's having his family arrested.
Well, and also the president or the prime minister of Lebanon just disappeared. He's being held hostage in wherever the head of Saudi Arabia is, And now,
whatever kind of thing they can provoke to enable the billionaire agenda, that's what they're going to do.
So now the area of Lebanon controlled by Hezbollah, which is probably the single most powerful political bloc in Lebanon, as they want to open up a part of Syria, so they have a guaranteed corridor to Iran. And therefore, I don't know. Hey, if you establish a political right-of-way through a part of a country, doesn't that mean you're kind of annexing it? If Russia wanted to put a big highway from Washington to Los Angeles, okay, where they could just, be there, that could be their right-of-way.
Right.
Exactly, what would that mean? Okay, they move tanks along, whatever.
airplanes.
Well, it makes it a little easier for traffic, for the approval of certain vehicles to come in and out.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's your road. I mean, you have a right of way. So, I mean, I don't know what that really means, but it looks to me like a conflict between Saudi Arabia and Iran and all the various proxies. Now, I don't think that Putin, I think Putin will not be on the side of Saudi Arabia. I think he's going to be on the side of Iran. So I don't, I see another little thing that doesn't make too much sense to me. And a couple of things. One is, when Trump was in China, he's praising the dude. They're acting like they're, getting it all done. Actually, until he got to the Great Wall when Melania left him, Trump was actually making speeches that evaded complete idiocy for a couple minutes, and but then he dropped all that and started mouthing off about everybody. That's when he made his famous Putin remark, or infamous.
Right, when he goes off script. John, I'd like to attempt to introduce a segment in which I reread a Facebook post.
you wrote a powerful one. Go ahead, buddy.
If you don't mind.
I don't mind at all.
All across the land, in coffee shops, old theaters, people's homes, community centers, hell, even parking lots in the cold, different people of varied backgrounds, education, races, religions, genders are working from the same sheet of paper. Casual interest has turned to the height of awareness. A brief pause and a respite, and a small celebration for the recent win, and now, directly back to work from the same sheet of paper. Rich, white, Republican, and male. You've made the list. If your pants are not stained with your own urine, they soon will be. You have no effing clue what you awakened in all of the aforementioned places. You can reduce my words to just a blowhard spewing on social media, but that does not take away from the fact that your narrative of lies is beginning is beginning to be brought into the cold light of day for all to see. Why are so very many people, including some of your own side, coming out against this travesty of a tax plan? Because it is not, has never been, and will never be about working people. Speaker Ryan, you continue to carry the water for the billionaire class. Only this time, we can all see it leaking. As surely as we can see how easy it is for you to sit down and comfortably lie into whatever microphone is in front of you at the time. And now, Roy Moore, why not just go ahead and get Bernie Madoff out of prison and hold a rally for him?
I think he's a bit better than
The recent report out of Jonestown, PA, where the Trump supporters say they don't care if he doesn't do anything he said because they like him. By the way, in parentheses, they also use the N-word to describe NFL players. I've been to towns like Johnstown, and from my experience, and just for me, the best thing about, not all of them, some of these towns, is having the ability to leave. A great many of these supporters have never traveled outside the confines of Stupidville, nor do they care to. They have isolated themselves in a simple area where they don't like it if someone challenges their narrow-mindedness and their complete utter awareness of their fellow citizens. Why should they, when Fox News is blaring at every corner so their laziness about facts can continue to be enabled? So media, stop the narrative of winning back Trump voters. No, no, and effing no. It is not our job to stop the 21st century bus and hold their hands and guide them to the bus stop. F them. Take the bus as you go through town. If they're in the middle of the street, run them the F over. Okay, maybe that was a little harsh, as analogies go. Oh, wait, I remember hearing some other analogies from the other side about Second Amendment solutions. At the very least, if a bus hits you, the bus company, the driver in said area, will have some insurance to cover that. Not so much with Second Amendment remedies. Today will be some special acknowledgement to some really gifted, or should I say grifted, people. F you to special pizza slime, Papa John's, to VP, I'm afraid of my shadow, Mike Pence, Speaker of the House Divided, Paul Ryan, and let us not forget about who started all this bullshit, Grover Norquist. Not just F you, but F you, go F yourself, you effing effity effer. And in closing, oh, wait, F you 45.
Yeah, Okay, no, you've got the, I know.
Thank you. Thank you for our fireside chat today.
Yeah, that's all right. World War II is starting, by the way. You should sign up soon.
John, it's three.
I don't know, that's right, sign up. Get on your little game controller on your computer, because you're going to be decentralizing the drone warfare campaign. You can run it from your home computer.
Well, I do want to shout out my thanks to a lot of veterans for all that they've done to help. I don't want to get into an argument about, you know, wars and so on and so forth. Do I think a lot of them are unnecessary? Yeah, sure, I do. But
wow.
The people who sacrifice themselves are brave. There is no question about that. There's a lot of bravery that is missed. But there is also some issues that aren't talked about either, that need to be. And that's the most unfortunate thing of all.
Yeah.
So I don't want to come off, you know, I think everybody has their issues to a certain extent with the military. Especially when you lose, the higher brass loses that many billions of dollars in a war.
Yeah.
You know, and you look around and you see a lot of children and adults and people in our country suffering to one extent or another quite needlessly. You know, continuing to make requests of trillions and trillions of dollars going into who knows pocket. That's concerning.
Trump,
I do know the soldier out there is concerned with their duty and doing their job. The majority of soldiers are concerned with that. That is their concern. And I understand that. They're doing their job. But we have to, you know, we have to do our job and question why it is that we continue down a road of awfulness.
Well, I mean, take Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Let me see, my point, yes, if you leave Afghanistan now, you're in it, the enemies of whatever effort has been made there will no doubt succeed, okay? But the problem with it is the effort has been, it can't possibly fix that. I mean, the military cannot fix Afghanistan.
There's no fix because it's such a broken.
Well, it is now. I mean,
it's such a broken. It
always was, and it's 10 times worse now.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I don't know that it was really worth the effort.
I can't. There's no real evidence, and no case has been made that there's been a slightest bit of improvement.
Right.
You know, for 15 years worth of effort. I mean, it's still a place no one would ever want to live, and to send your troops there, I just don't get it. Okay, I do get it, but I don't. Pissing money down a lost cause doesn't do any good for you. You don't get any. It doesn't go forward. I mean, Iran, same thing. The disaster policy of the Bush administration. I mean, an unbelievable mistake of global proportions.
Sure.
Not that other problems would not have arisen as well. I mean, is it the only bad thing happening in the Middle East? No. But I mean, the investment from the American standpoint is a waste of time.
Yeah. I'm not. You're not going to get any argument here.
The loss of life was people dedicated to serving their country and gave their lives. But then you have to ask the question, for what?
Right. You do.
And, you know,
you do. And that was kind of my ham-handed way of getting to that point. Was, you know, there is so much that is being done in our names under the cover of darkness. under the cover of under the guise of freedom.
And I know they give the excuse, oh, it's because of security. We don't want our enemies to know. But I mean, you don't want your own people to know either.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and then because exactly. you're embarrassed by it, if you had to, you couldn't right. explain it. You know, really. And
there's no explanation for that level of horror. And you know, I don't even pretend to know the heat of battle, but I do know that again, I'm going to say it again, is we need why. We have to keep asking that question.
Here's a question I'd like to get your take on, because it's a op-ed by Steve Rose in the Guardian this morning, saying that why shouldn't George Clooney be running for president?
That's an excellent question. Maybe George Clooney doesn't want to be president.
Okay.
That's maybe he doesn't feel comfortable being president. I'm certain of one thing.
What?
If he did make that decision, he would not be without a great deal of support.
I think he might get some support. I mean, he's kind of the Hollywood anti-Weinstein kind of guy, in a way. A little bit, you know. Yeah, okay, so.
Yeah. A little bit.
And
as Robert De Niro would say.
Have you heard about this movie, Suburbicon?
A little bit.
His movie?
Yes, I have. I've heard a great deal. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah.
I think we may have said this, but I do think Matt Damon is really, really considered now probably one of the better actors in the world now, and that's good. I mean, he's worked very hard at owning that, so I'm not happy for him.
Yeah.
Pretty good dude. So, I don't know. The problem is, and tell me if I don't know that a lot of folks have heard about the movie. Like a lot of other, it's kind of an interesting dynamic that we the Oscar buzz is just going to keep growing about a lot of these movies, but is it?
I don't know.
It doesn't feel the same. It doesn't feel the same. You know what I mean? It just that the Oscar buzz seems to be not as, or the Oscar predetermined order of movies and so on and so forth seems to be kind of strange. I mean, you do have the movie The Post coming out with Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks in the lead roles, which is a movie that was produced and directed by Steven Spielberg, and it is about the Pentagon Papers, which looked in the promo to me looked very interesting. That's a movie.
Okay.
I would want to see.
Well, I want to see the Suburbicon now.
But do you? Yeah, so do I.
I've seen two reviews: one good, one bad.
Are you concerned at all? I don't know if the right word is concerned. Are you seeing what I'm seeing in that it seems as if some of these things aren't being promoted the way they used to be? I guess, for lack of a better term.
I'm not paying that much attention to it, to be truthful. Okay.
Are we being roboted with just these subtle influences on our Facebook and Twitter feeds? Like, yeah, that's a great point. My go see Suburbicon.
I mean, like Facebook is loaded. Like Facebook is loaded with these articles now, or at least the one in my feed, about how, why aren't people out in the streets protesting the Paradise Papers? And you ask yourself, well, my God, yes, that's true. Why aren't they out every damn day? There's 365 issues I'm sure we could come up with this, job. But it's so big. It's like it's systemic. It's not just one thing. It's like the whole, it's like the kitchen is just filled with rats. You know, I'm not now Dr. Lecter.
Once you get him out of the cupboard, you know, you get him out of the cupboard, now you got to move to the pantry.
Now, in Moose Turd Cafe, I mean, Dr. Lecter has an efficient, you know, use of all these matters, and we appreciate that. But,
certainly.
You know, he has a disposal, imposal, reposal, proposal, divisions of everything, you know, so it's...
Yes.
Plus, his very sharp knives, and...
You
know, I saw him, the other day, the other morning, there was an ant crawling up the wall. And Dr. Lecter, from across the room, spliced it right in half.
And
added it as a garnish on somebody's omelet.
Those are nice skills that Bobby Flay would probably want to have.
Yeah, right. I mean, I believe that if we were to go into liquors, which I think we ought to talk to Dr. Lecter about, if he's around this morning, maybe we'll ask him about kinds of liquors that might be, I don't know, suitable, you know, for, getting you through a rough day in the real world of Trump land. Okay, so, stiffeners. We need stiffeners. I think that's maybe a brand. Oh, Dr. Lecter, welcome.
Oftentimes, I find liquor too harsh for the palate.
You'll have to sweeten it up a little bit there, Dr.
That was frightening. That was, that is not.
I love Dr. Lecter. I'm so glad that you have a relationship with him.
Well, I am, and I'm not. I'm glad, and I'm not glad.
Well,
it can be precarious sometimes. It has to be, you know. It's especially around dinner time.
I wonder if Reverend Barber is interested in running for president.
I don't know that he is. I think he's perfectly happy to be one of the lead agitators.
Yeah.
Which I think is a necessary position for him to continue to talk about actual real morality.
Yeah.
And actual real things that are tangible that you can touch. And what, he is an amazing coalition builder. You know, he really is. There is no question about that. He has some skills and some ability that far exceed a great many other people I've seen in that position. Let's put it that way. And I know that it's not always it's not always comfortable.
Yep.
And it's a difficult assignment for anybody, any human being, any logical thinking person whose interpretation is about peace, kindness, and decency and acceptance.
World peace.
And the other narrative that continues to once again raise its ugly head is this kind of quasi-militant, well, it's not even quasi-militant, it's militant. To say that we're, you know, a bunch of candy-ass liberal wimps, blah, 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 snowflakes. You know what? Eat it. Okay?
Yeah, we'll find out. We're going to find out about that, and we're going to find out exactly how tough these guys are.
I mean, such bullshit talk. It's just bullshit.
Well, it has to be turned into that, you know. Right now.
Hey, by the way, everybody, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour here at the Moose Turd Cafe, and here with your original Dusty Pudding philosopher and host, Mr. John Case. And anytime you feel like entering the cafe, just call us at 304-885-0708. Today's November 13th. It's Monday, and we're just getting started.
I talked to Larry the other day. Enough.
Oh, cool. How is he?
He's doing good, you know. He's into this, but we need to gather at some point this week if we can and think about
Ooh,
that's going forward.
That's a perfect opportunity for me to break out the Kurgan.
That's right, break out the Kurgan. Exactly, the Kurgan.
At last, the gathering. Remember our agreement, Murdoch. The boy is mine.
Except.
I had to.
Except he gets trained and he prevails.
I prepared him for you. Ramirez. Another time, Highlander. Holy ground, Highlander. Who does your hair?
I thought the Kurgan's performance in the Catholic Church was pretty extraordinary, actually, in that movie. That's one of the better
Happy
scenes.
Happy Halloween, ladies. Nuns, no sense of humor.
That's
Forgive
so
me, Father. I am a worm.
That's right.
I have something to say.
Okay, Mr. Kurgan.
It's better to burn out than it is to fade away.
And that's, okay. That's a good slogan for the cafe this morning, I believe.
Yes.
I do believe. I think you've nailed it.
I had to go all the way. If I'm going to go Kurgan, man, I got to go full Kurgan.
That's right. It's better to burn out than fade away. And that,
away.
You know, and that, right. And let me just tell you guys, when we start burning away in the cafe, you're going to smell it for 15 miles away.
Yes. Okay. Yes, that's going to be a smell that's going to keep for a long time.
Yeah. It could spread like a nuclear winter over the entire country.
Yes. And please, when it does, give Kim Jong-un our condolences.
That's right, the weather machine. You know, so, well, it's wonderful to see that that climate change has been explained, finally. So that's a...
Oh, thank goodness.
All right, buddy, let's bring it to...
Well, here's the thing, look. You know, look, Putin told him we had nothing to do with it.
Right.
So, everybody, it's over. Let's all rest easy now. Okay.
Yeah, right, it's no... Why didn't we ask him? We should have just asked him. Right? Yeah, that's what my friend Melissa said.
We're going to come back on Tuesday, everybody. We're going to come back on Tuesday. I know you don't want us to, but we're going to.
Yeah, right. Okay. I'm going to be back.
Hold on.
Senator Sanders, I'm glad you bring us back to ground. Thank you.
Really quick second. Let's not talk in extremes here, okay?
Okay.
Let's keep our eye on the prize. Remember, despite all of the negativity, despite some books that have been published, that doesn't necessarily mean the revolution stops, Johnny. You know that. What that means is we all have got to work together. We all have to understand enough is enough.
All right, my brother. Thank you so much, right, Senator Sanders. All right, buddy. We'll be back tomorrow. And
thanks, everybody. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
All right, bud. Here we go. We'll have a little Moose Turd Cafe to close it out with.
Rural electrification in the Navajo Indian Reservation. Running electric power lines into all the Navajo outhouses. Was one of the first people to wire ahead for a reservation. Finally, I'll tell you about the worst job I ever had in my life. Worst job I ever had in my life was working for the Santa Fe Railroad south of Las Vegas, Nevada. Yeah, that's the old Mormon Muddy Mission, you see. It's way out in what the Navajos call the boonies. Out in the desert. Now, the job was Gandhi dancing. Now, Gandhi dancing used to be in the old days. Gandhi dancing was when the Irish were building the railroad. Of course, the first transcontinental railroad was built by Irish laborers. And they used these long-handled shovels called Irish banjos that were made by the Gandhi Shovel Company of Chicago. Now, the Irish laborer would take the wide end of the shovel when he could find it, and he would jam it in under a rail or a tie, and he would climb out on the long handle, do a little jig step out there, and that would lever the tie up or the rail up, and you push gravel in underneath it and tamp it down, and that levels the roadbed. See, that's what Gandhi dancing is. Leveling the roadbed so the damn train doesn't fall off as it goes by, which is just a big drag for everybody. Now, they don't do Gandhi dancing the normal way anymore, see. like they did in the old days. Nowadays, they run three cars out on the line. They run a box car out there that's a bunk car. You sleep in it. Got bunks in there 18 inches apart. And then you got a tool car with your tamping irons and your tongs and your double jack hammers and spikes and all of that equipment, see, to do the job. And then you got a cook car. I mean, there's no restaurants anyplace around, so you got a cook car. Pots and pans and a coal or wood-burning stove and a long table down the middle to eat at. Only thing they don't hire is a cook. That's because they're cheap. Saves them money. The rule is that in that crew, they're supposed to pick among their own members who's going to be the cook. Now, they don't try to do it sensibly, like draw lots or decide who the best cook is. What they do is they wait and find out who bitches and whines and pisses and moans the most about the cooking. And they say, all right, wise guy, you think you can do better, you get to be the cook. Well, that was me, see? Old alligator mouth. The new man on the crew, and that was the worst food I'd ever had. I mean, it was dog bottom pie. And pheasant sweat. Otter water comes out of an otter. It's a terrible, terrible stuff. Some people might think it's a delicacy, but I thought it was garp. So I complained, and they said, all right, wise guy, you get to be the cook. That made me mad, because I didn't want to cook. But I knew if anybody complained about my cooking, that they were going to have to cook. Armed with that knowledge, I sallied forth over the muddy river. I was walking around among the cheap grass and bunch grass there, and I looked down, and there was just a hell of a big moose turd. Biggest damn moose turd, that was a real steamer, damn. I looked down at that meadow wafer, and I said to myself, self, I'm going to bake up a big moose turd pie. Because if anybody complains about my cooking, they're going to have to cook. So I tipped that pasture pastry up on edge. I got my shit together, so to speak. And I started rolling it down toward the old cook car. Bloom, bloom. I got it down there and leaned it up against the side, and I climbed up in the cook car and I baked up a hell of a big pie shell. And I baked that moose turd in it as slick as you please. And I crimped the edges with my thumbs and laid strips of dough across it and garnished it with a sprig of parsley, a little paprika. It was beautiful. Poetry on a plate. And I served it for dessert, waiting for the first hint of a complaint. Well, this giant dude come in, about 5'40". I mean, he was big. Throwed himself down like a fool on the stool. Picked up his fork. Took a big bite of that moose turd pie. Well, he threw down his fork, and he let out a beller, and he yelled, "My God, that's moose turd pie!" It's good, though.